can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Well, my goodness gracious, let me tell you the news. My head's been wet with the midnight dew. I've been down on bended knee, talking to the man from Galilee. He spoke to me with a voice so sweet, I thought I heard the shuffle of angels sweet. He called my name and my heart stood still when he said, John, go do my will. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man, but as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Well, we're back with the Ralph Winroad Show. This is Ralph Kermit Winroad II coming to you live out of Alaska. And we're going to get into the Citizen of the United States stuff. You see, if we were in Egypt in bondage, we'd be an Israelite or we'd be Egyptian. It'd be real simple. It don't sound alike. They don't tell us that over here in this country, which we are so blessed, because we're the only nation in the whole world, only country, that starts off with inalienable rights from the Creator, and then it goes on down to the sovereign countries called the several states, and we have a limited delegation of their power. But it's got to be written power to get there. And there is a limited delegation of power to the United States in certain areas. It's all been overthrown. I can prove it. That's a shocker. The things that we think we know are not so. But it's nice to find out what it is so that then you can get around and, well, how do I distance myself or operate? We're not going to fix the whole system. It's not going to happen. That's a fact. But how do I operate in it? And we'll get to that the last part of the show. This is an amazing thing. This is this case here is U.S. versus Bagot, B-A-G-G-O-T. It's 463 U.S. 476. 463 U.S. 476, 1983 case. The IRS's decision is largely self-executing in the sense that it has independent legal force of its own without requiring prior validation or enforcement by a court. The IRS need never to go to a court to assess and collect the amount owed. It is empowered to collect the debt by a non-judicial means, such as a levy on property or salary, and they cite two cases, 26 U.S.C. 6331 and 6332, that only has to do with federal and state employees, says so right in it, without having to prove to a court the validity of the underlying tax liability. Can you, this court said this. How did somebody that is an agency that don't even exist, reality, can take your stuff and don't even have to prove the tax liability? They just make it up, and they don't have to go to court. It goes on farther. Of course, the matter may end up in court if Bagot chooses to take it there, but that possibility does not negate the fact that the primary use to which the IRS proposes to put the materials it seeks is an extrajudicial one, the assessment of a tax deficiency by the IRS. Unbelievable. Oh, we don't need that court systems no more. We don't need to go in and actually, you know what, I got that out of that Unplanned Parenthood. Two most important words in law, prove it. They never prove it because they can't. Prove it. We're supposed to have an adversarial court. People lose their property. They go to these United States district courts. That's why they had to change it. I'm going to give you just a brief overview of that. Why do we have the 16th and 17th Amendments? What happened? Why were they important? First of all, they did the 16th Amendment. It did no tax. All it took away is instead of the several states, we can do it on the income from whatever source derived. So they had to get rid of the several states. They just took that part away. Didn't change any taxation other than instead of the several states having to pay their own fair share. Now it's by, we got rid of that, so now we can do a tax from wherever the income is derived. What are they setting up? For citizens of the United States. But of course, we had another thing. We had to do the 17th Amendment then. What happened with that one? And one word in the 17th Amendment made all the difference. And nobody seems to get it. I just stumbled across it by accident because I'm always reading. I read tons of cases. I get information and I look stuff up because I have Westlaw. Article 1, Section 2. The House of Representatives shall be composed of members chosen every second year by the people of the several states. People of the several states. Do you see people of the several states in the 17th Amendment? Nope. Go look at Adams versus Clinton. It's 90 F sup 2D 35. 90 F period SUPP period 2D 35. It's the 2000 case out of the Kangaroo Court out of D.C. They left out of the several states and just said each state. Why would they do that? Oh, that's right. Because if it's the people of the several states, we'd be screwed. Because we would still have a standing. But people of each state, we can then define, Congress will define state, which they did in the National Voter Registration Act of 1993, which says state means state of the United States and the District of Columbia. So we're on equal footing with the people in the District of Columbia now. Well, they don't have anything going on there. They're under the total plenary power of Congress. Isn't that amazing? We just happen to leave out one word, several, in the 17th Amendment. Why would they need that? Because they needed to get the parties to the Constitution of the United States. That's what it's called. It's not called U.S. Constitution. It's not called United States Constitution. It's called United Constitution of the United States. And these DOJ attorneys know how to go back and forth between the true stuff and the BS. Because you see, the 10th Amendment is about the people of the several states, and it's about the several states. Those are two parties to the Constitution of the United States. And the amendments 1 through 12 is who that has application to. From the 13th on, it doesn't. Can we prove it? Oh, absolutely. Because you see, we have the National Voter Registration Act of 1993, but all of the, quote, states, now states use, that is defined as a state, not several states, state. They can't define several states. They had to leave that puppy alone. But now we got it down to a state because, you see, as soon as they did that in the 17th Amendment, there is no parties to the Constitution of the United States. Because they were getting set up to be able to tax citizens of the United States under the 16th. But, of course, you see, if we don't have any parties to the Constitution of the United States, well, let's get around and do the Federal Reserve Act, too, because we know we could do phony money. This is nobody home. Isn't it amazing how all that just happened to fall into place, 1913 stuff? Wow. So we'll get the phony money. And then guess what else happened? Because in the constitutional courts, they got rid of the circuit courts of the United States, the constitutional ones. Circuit courts of the United States. Of the United States. And put in courts of appeal. In 1911. And guess where the judicial power went? To the district court of the United States. The appellate court of the circuit court of the United States was given to a district court of the United States because that was the only constitutional court left other than the Supreme Court then. Isn't that amazing how that just all just happens? Do they teach this today? It's all documented if you know where to go look. It's all right there. They printed. And then we come along with Franklin Delano Roosevelt and he starts his headless fourth branch of government and God help us. Then we get into the 1946. Well, we had to get a new court system. So they did away. They didn't actually ever do away with the District Court of the United States. The Constitutional Court's still there. But we created a new one called the United States District Courts in the federal areas. But before we did the court system, we had two other things we had to do. Couple things. Well, we got the Federal Register Act because now we're being ruled by legal notice by agencies. In 1939, they did the Public Salary Act because, you see, the states couldn't tax the feds and the feds couldn't tax the state. So what does that tell you? If they couldn't tax each other, what the hell are they doing coming after us? So they made an agreement, the 1939 Public Salary Act. Okay, the state said, we'll tax you, the feds, and you could tax us. And they did it by agreement. But they give us something that we can use against them. Oh, can we use it? See, that's the nice thing about the truth. You can't discriminate. Everybody's got to be treated the same. There was a case Supreme Court recently where the state was giving a benefits to a law enforcement guy with a retirement, not to a Fed law enforcement. And the Supreme Court said, yeah, you got to do equal. If you're going to do a con, you got to do it equally to the state and to the Fed folks. How are we going to use that against them? Oh, boy, is this I got so much stuff. It's just, this is getting exciting. Really exciting. You can't do no discrimination. Let's see now. Let's take a citizen of the United States in the District of Columbia. He uses the same, he or she, whatever. We'll say he, but it means both. No it's. Uses the same Form 1040, OMB 1545-0074. Uses the same W-2, same W-4, same 1099, same W-9s. They're all citizens of the United States because that's all that can exist in the District of Columbia. Well, how do they get it to apply to us out here in the several states? Could you see, I'm a citizen of Alaska. You can be a citizen of New Hampshire, a citizen of Rhode Island, a citizen of Texas. That hasn't changed. You just don't know it because they don't tell us that. So how did they pull that off? Oh, I know how we'll do it. We'll start off with the Social Security Act of 1935. taking a good emergency, like old Rome, Emmanuel said, or Emmanuel Rome, whatever his name is, never pass up a good emergency. Never pass up a good racial hoax either. Anyway, 1935, well, let's see, we'll get around, and under the excise tax, that's in the Constitution of the United States, we'll say we'll make a statutory employer under the excise. He's a citizen of the United States, because it's a privilege to operate in that. And then it is a privilege for an individual, as they say so in their legislative history, to go to work for a statutory employer. It's a privilege. And we're going to call what he's donating federal income tax. Now, the Supreme Court ruled what a federal income tax was. And it listed it back in, I don't have the case right in front of me right now, but it listed all of them. It ain't nothing to do with you or me. It's called federal income tax. They use that word very carefully, but that's what they have to do. And, of course, the federal income tax is not collected by the feds because it's unconstitutional, because the Supreme Court cut them down on that. So that was relegated back to the states. So they get around and collect it and send it to the feds. That's another whole can of worms. But anyway, the overview is, how are we going to make it work out here in the several states? Oh, I know what we'll do. We'll get around and we'll create the Buck Act. Yeah, that works pretty good. And we're going to create federal areas. We are deemed to be in a federal area if you are a citizen of the United States. So now what we did in the 1935 Social Security Act, we had to have a way to get a uniformity across all the states. So we made every state, the ones that didn't even want to, had to file the state plan. I got the state plans for Alaska and for North Carolina. They're all federal regulations. Everybody had to give up their sovereignty for this Social Security stuff, because we had to have a uniformity against across all the states. That's where you'll find your child custody stuff, your corporative regulations, where the judges, like in Alaska, there are these things are audited for the amount of money they create. That's under the an act of Congress where they have, you get $4,000 a head for the good ones and $2,000 for the special needs children. We get around and put up bounties on abortions or adoptions. And they say, go get them when they're young. Article 6 of the cooperative agreement between the, quote, CSSD, the child slavers, and the, quote, kangaroo court in Alaska. The judge is audited for the amount of money he makes. You think he gives a hoot about what's going on? Not a flipping thing. So they do this. So now we get around and we put in the Buck Act. Federal areas. Yeah, we are deemed to be in a federal area. Well, the court has also said that a federal area is the same as a federal enclave. Enclave. So D.C. is a federal enclave, like forts, arsenals, the Eastville buildings. So now if you are deemed to be in a federal area under the Buck Act, you're hooked. Now you go to D.C. and the Internal Revenue Code, there is no Title 26 in reality. It's only the Internal Revenue Code. It mirrors it, but it's never put into positive law, but they can't. Internal Revenue Code absolutely applies if you're a citizen of the United States in the District of Columbia. But now, if you're outside and we coerce you into a W-2, W-4s, and 1099s and all this nonsense under the penalties of perjury, you're deemed to be in a federal area as a citizen of the United States, you're stuck. Back in a minute.
folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Okay, we're back here. So the and you'll find that codified today. I mean, it's in 4 U.S.C. 110, I think, are the definitions for the Buck Act. And they use the 1939 code. They don't use the latest stuff, 1984, 86, or whatever, which I happen to have. I have that. And so now we have a federal enclave, like D.C., is the same as if you're in a federal area as a citizen of the United States. If you sign up for it, you're deemed to be there. Well, isn't that just damn special? That's really slick. So all of a sudden, we can end up, that's why everything is always want to be a citizen of the United States. You go into a federal court, a jury. Jeopardy does not attach until the judge says, is everybody here, under oath, is everybody here, or usually he puts it the other way, is anybody here not a citizen of the United States? I don't hear a peep, because they don't have a clue what the hell you're talking about. That's how I used to deal with the misdemeanor charges they kept when I was trying to figure out how they owned their car and all the driver's license. As soon as they swore in, my question was, you just swore in that you're a citizen of the United States. What is it? Next thing you know, the prosecutor wants to take a recess. Yep. Things go away. Power. Knowledge is power. Well, let's see here. Let me find this other case. Because if they're all the same, see, this is where we're going to nail them. Because you get all this stuff in D.C. And you, by golly, Ned, you cannot discriminate among citizens of the United States, because that would be a sin. If you're going to create a fictional con, you got to treat all the people that's in that fiction the same. Oh, yeah, they're going to love this. And then we got this case here, which is a really an important case. I got so many of them. That's why I'm putting this all together, because this mousetrap, they're done. There is absolutely no doubt anymore. It's all about your status. It's just like Esau in the Bible. He got around, forage lentil beans. He gave away up his birthright and property stuff. Once his dad blessed him, they've ruled his dad. In our country, that'd be called expatriation. Well, you can't do it unless you get around and the government, and you have to submit to them. Say, yeah, I want to expatriate, and get them to bless it. Then you lose your status. But anyway, in this case, this guy's in Mexico. I've talked about it before. Cook versus Tate, T-A-I-T. And this is 265 U.S. 47, 265 U.S. 47, 1924 case. This guy's in Mexico. He thinks he's got it made. Well, here's what they said. In other words, the principle was declared that the government, by its very nature, benefits the citizen. It do, because under your passport, look on the very first, open it up on the right-hand side. It says citizen/national. Why is that important? On the application for a passport, it'll say U.S. citizen, but down on the bottom it says citizen/national. Why is that important? Because you see, the national of the United States is defined in 8 United States Code. This is really important. You got to know this one. 8 United States Code, 1101A, 22. B, capital B, because it says the term national of the United States means. That's a whole unique meaning. A, I'm a citizen of the United States. I don't want to be that. B, or it says, I am not a citizen of the United States, but I owe permanent allegiance to the United States. That's me. And that's you, if you understand what's going on. If you're domiciled in any one of these several states, you owe permanent allegiance to the United States. But you're not a citizen of the United States because you have no political rights, you have no right to own property, no right to a constitutional court, no right to vote for who's president, vice president, you have no right to vote for any state officers. You got nothing. You're under the plenary power of Schumer and Pelosi and Feinstein and Murkowski and all these criminals. Ooh-wah. So this guy's in Mexico. Says, in other words, the principles were declared that the government, by its very nature, benefits the citizen. That's what is supposed to passport. You're benefited by the protection of the United States of America, which it puts out, which is still there. And his property, wherever found. You'll notice in books and records and all this stuff and all these kangaroo courts, United States District Court, which says it's exercising the judicial power of a district court by a single person that comes out of the territory of Hawaii. It says so right in the frickin' revised statute. Judicial power of a district court, that's an inquisition. It's another nice word, is a star chamber. Mary O. England had star chambers. Cruel trilemma. We get you to confess by a couple of different means. We get you off premise, what they do in Inquisition, depositions are recorded by a phony IRS guy, bring it back in to a court. That's one way they do it. They always do declarations.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Well, we're back here and talking about a citizen of the United States. It sounds so deliciously. What could be wrong with it? This is a guy that's in Mexico. Let me start over because this is an important thing here. It says, in other words, this case, by the way, is Cook versus TAIT, 265 U.S. 47. 265 U.S. 47. In other words, the principle was declared that the government, by its very nature, benefits the citizen and his property wherever found. Books and records and stuff is always your found. They do not do subject matter jurisdiction. Only the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals does that. Legislative history says so. Okay, and therefore has the power to make and make the benefit complete. Anytime you accept a benefit, you have no rights, no remedies. They can deny you. They can give you the wrong. They can anything. To shut the heck up and take your benefit. Babcock, of many cases. Started off with the Hayburns case, Babcock, Dismuth, all kinds of cases. Support. Nothing's changed. It's called creating rights against itself. So if you accept the benefit, shut up. This benefit here is supposed to be as a, if you were a national of the United States, B, it wouldn't have any bearing on this tax stuff. But if you're A, it absolutely does. So let's continue. Or, to express another way, the basis of the power to tax was not and cannot be made dependent upon the citizen of the property in all cases, it being in or out of the United States. It don't make any difference where it is. Nor was not and cannot be made dependent upon the domicile of the citizen. He's in Mexico. old Mexico being in or out of the United States, but upon his relation as a citizen of the United States. Is that any clearer? And the relationship of the latter to him as a citizen. The consequence of the relations is that the native citizens who is taxed may have domicile, and the property from which his income is derived may have citus in a foreign country. The tax be legal, the government having the power to impose the tax. Absolutely freaking true. If you want to step into the fictional world, step into the Matrix. Absolutely. Absolutely. You're stuck. Yeah, absolutely. That's true. But if you know how to step out of it, which I'm going to get to before the show gets over here, no. But you have to know how to fight it. And boy, they do not want this out. They do not want this information out. They have gotten away with this con for so long, setting up kangaroo courts, star chamber courts. I started to go into that, the old star chamber. You're not supposed to be able to coerce you to give information against yourself. It's called the Trill Trilemma. John Thornton did that. All the stuff he did, and they got him cornered. And he wasn't keeping up with reading the material, and he just got up there and did what he confessed, told him he had a safe in his place with a couple $100,000. They come out and raided it after they got the information, and he had another $300,000 or so hidden away and in a separate safe, and oh, they're going to come, and he got around and told them, and they come out and took that too. Oh, yeah, and then the Bitcoins got all freaking mighty. It's just unbelievable. It happens, though. The people under stress. I do. Guaranteed. I've seen it over and over. I experienced it for about 20 minutes on my first criminal charge. I got over it and I looked the way I dealt with it. I said, these people are the devil. And I'm up against the devil. You are all Baphomet soldiers or whores. And I'm going to fight you till the death. The hell with you. Can't do anything to me. But everybody has different strokes for different folks. So anyway, another really good important case is, which I've read before, but it's really an important one. It tells so much. And then we can prove it. Got to prove this stuff. That's like I say, I really like that unplanned. So the two most important words are prove it, because the Planned Parenthood sued these people. But I'm going to tell you what happened in the story, because I'll go see the movie. They need the money. Okay, this is 259 U.S. 114, H-E-A-L-D versus the District of Columbia. It's amazing. It's got six Supreme Court cases supporting it. Now remember, you can't discriminate amongst a class of citizens of the United States. Supreme Court said so. That's what I've been working on, is putting that module together. Finally, it is earnestly contended that the act is void. Now, what this is about is taxation, about representation for the people in the District of Columbia, their residents. Finally, it is earnestly contended that the act is void because it subjects the residents of the district to taxation without representation. We have been taught you can't have taxation without representation. Yes, you can. If you're a citizen of the United States, if you're in the District of Columbia, because it was set up that way. And if you want to step into the fictional world, absolutely. Since residents of the district lack the suffrage and have politically no voice in the expenditure of the money raised by taxation. Is that a mouthful? They have no suffrage. They can't vote for president or vice president. And under the National Voter Registration Act of 1993, we're not actually voting for them either. We just don't know any better. We're going to get to that before the show's over here. Money so raised is paid into the Treasury of the United States, where it is held, not as a separate fund for the district, but subject to the disposal of Congress like other revenues raised by federal taxation. There is no constitutional provision which limits the power of Congress that taxes can be imposed only on those who have political representation. Whoa! Really? That's only if you're a citizen of the United States. It only has application if you're in the District of Columbia under the plenary absolute power. It only has application if you're located in one of the possessions or territories. It has no freaking application if you're domiciled in one of the several states. It's hard to keep up with this. The several states are sovereign countries, and they're called the several states. They all have their own laws. Supposed to. They don't anymore, because guess what they're doing? They're all operating in the same capacity as the District of Columbia. They're a municipal entity, exactly like D.C. Yep. And we can prove it. That's the scary part of this whole thing. When you actually see that this could be going on, and we don't know. How are we going to know? I've been working on stuff for a long time, and I've been chasing my tail in Title 26, and I pounded subsidy regs and interpretive regs and procedural and all that nonsense. That's nice to know what you're up against, but you're not going to win with it, because you can't. Because that's not what's going on. It's all about your status. Once you voluntarily or are conned, I didn't go through the star chamber thing. It's called the cruel trilemma. That's why you're not supposed to give evidence against yourself, the Fifth Amendment. Well, how do they get around that, the first one? Well, they take you off premise. And John Thornton's a good thing. I'm going to get around and publish his stuff that we did for him, because it's a learning. He went off with the IRS agent, and if you don't give them the answers they're looking for, they come back and say, well, he didn't comply. The judge didn't hear a damn thing. Nothing under oath in the court. It's not all off premise. And they said, that's by the way, and why did John lose and went up to the Eighth Circuit? But they said, we're not going to enforce it. But they find you. First of all, they found him in contempt, but for 2 years they didn't do anything. But well, how does the cruel trilemma work? They get you to confess. And they do it off-premise under books and records, or they do it on this, I forget what his was, but if they take you off-premise and they do what's called an inquisition. We don't answer questions, answer my questions, because I'm God, little g. In the courts, they will always have they always have the IRS agent or somebody put in declarations. They always have to have a public record. And if you do not immediately rebut everything on the declaration, which is total spoke and a lie, and the public record, you lose. How do we know that? The attorney told us. The magistrate in Thornton's case actually said that, because he was using Mark Stevens before I got there. I hadn't read that far back. But we forced him out. The actual AG said that. He said, you've already lost the case. What the hell is the problem? You didn't rebut this initially, and so we just play along with you, dilly-dally along on these, reduced to judgment for a week, for months. Then all of a sudden you lose. You say, what happened? And then the judge said, well, that's forced effect of law in their world, because you didn't rebut it. It's called it's like a summary judgment. You have to rebut each and everything. So the good old star chamber. Number one, we get you to confess by some means. Number two, the second prong is it's got to be under perjury. So we put you under oath. You always off premise for books and records and reduced to judgment. They don't do it inside the court because they don't want to have anything on the record. People lose their property and there's not one sworn bit of sworn testimony in the, quote, United States District Court. You can't make this stuff up. And you lose. The third one is, we're going to hold contempt of court. If you do not give me the answers to the questions that I want answered in the way I want them, I'm going to hold you in contempt, which is what they did to John Thornton and threatened to put him in jail. And he did just scared spitless of jail and on. But or they'll take your stuff, take your property, put it up for sale. They'll get around and they will strike stuff that they don't want to answer. They'll never answer. We did interrogatories and did stuff, admissions in Toppin's case in Massachusetts, and they just went around it all, and the court struck everything and said, we're going to move you out. Well, we're not even close to being done, because they can't. These are things they can't do. But there's a Federal Circuit Court of Appeals, there's a Federal Court of Claims, and we can sue the judge because this judge, if you give him what's called actual notice, I want to see actual notice that I'm a citizen of the United States. And you know what? They can't do it. You know why? Because that'd be unconstitutional. 28 U.S.C. 2201. They cannot make a determination that you're a taxpayer, i.e. a citizen of the United States. Now, they can make a determination if you're a 501c3, but they can't do that one because they have to con you or to get you to volunteer into it. It's a con. It's all a con. Unbelievable, isn't it? Let's see here. I was... Did I finish reading this? I don't think I don't remember if I read this whole case. And I get to talking here, and I, because I don't script my stuff, or I just do it ad hoc. If I read the rest of this or not, they have no right of suffrage if you are a citizen of the United States. That means you have no right. Oh, I know what I was going to do was total up with the Title 52. Let's see what time we got here. Yeah, I got time. Okay, the National Voter Registration Act. First of all, you go into the findings. What did they find? How did they find something? Well, guess what? This is 52 U.S.C. section 20501. 52 U.S.C. 20501. The right of citizens of the United States to vote is a fundamental right. To vote. Okay, you can show up. Fine, that's okay. I'll go along with that. Because it's the character. I got... That's really important. I don't have time to go into all that, but that you want to use character of the United States anytime you're doing this stuff. Anyway, so we go into the definitions of the National Voter Registration Act of 1993, every state using it. 52 U.S.C. 20502. The term state means state of the United States and the District of Columbia. That means we're on the same. It's state of the United States. The state is sitting underneath the United States, just like the D.C. is sitting under the United States. And then it says, number two, the term, quote, federal offices has a meaning in 30101, number three. That's what they always do. They always link this stuff. The average person doesn't have access to it, hot linked, or it takes time. So what does that say? 52 U.S.C. section 30101, number three. The term federal office, in quotation mark, means office of the president or vice president. Doesn't say president of the United States. See, it says office of. So, or senator or representative in or delegate or resident commissioner to the Congress. Really? Delegate or resident commissioner, that's to take care of D.C. You see anything in here about the elections for any of, quote, public officers of the several states? No. There are no elections for any public officers of any of the several states. No. And they tell us that. That's what's even more amazing. So how can you have anybody working in the several states? That's why when you start researching, you'll find their oaths. Everything is always screwed up. It never matches. 185 American Law Review, Fed. 155. One heck of a read. It says there are no elections for state officers. Well, who in the hell are all these people in all these states? They're the same thing. They're a municipal entity, just like in the District of Columbia, operating under the United States. And this ALR says there are no elections. So you can't have any public officers. So every judge, every governor, everybody in all of these states, they don't exist. That's why when you start researching, and I've done it, they've changed the name of our courts, everything, no oaths of office, they have no civil commissions. And I pounded that, I documented, and I said, why is all this true? They're all sitting under the United States. Isn't that amazing? That is shocking. And then they go on further. Guess what? They challenged the citizens of the United States, these elections. How about the 10th Amendment? They said, oh, no. The 10th Amendment don't have any bearing on a citizen of the United States. That is a... Stop and think about what that means. The 10th Amendment and forward, 1 through 10, and the whole Constitution, there are only two parties. It says what isn't given you is reserved to the people. But that doesn't have any bearing on this other fictional citizen of the United States. They say so in this frickin' damn thing with courts. Can't make this stuff up. Jack in Texas. How's Texas?
Oh, here we are. Well, I'm just curious. Listen to the broadcast. Just curious. I know there's some... You have a backlog of, you know, those you're dealing with. What would it take? What do you need to move forward to the federal court of claim for someone who's lost their...
Here's what it takes. First of all, number one, I'm going to get to this. I need to stop what I'm doing. Number one, you have to have your status, which I need to redo with all this stuff. You have to put your status into the public record. It becomes self-authenticating under Evidence Rule 901, number 7. You have to try to vote as a citizen of Texas. Whether they take it or not, I modify them. I can't modify California's, but I modify them. And if they deny you, that's fine. If they let you pass, you're fine. Those are the two things. Then the other thing is, anything that they've done, taking money within the last 6 years, you can go for. And until you find it out, I found two, you can even get around that. That gets you into the federal court of claims. But what I'm doing is getting all of these modules put together so that I can take one person into the federal court of claims or into the federal circuit court of appeals as an appellate court. But you have to have money taken, and you go in as United States. It has to be against United States. But see, we've got rulings where United States of America and United States are the same thing. Well, they're not, of course. But I'm going to use it against them because they always say United States of America on behalf of United States, for the benefit of United States. And I've got cases out of Minnesota and stuff where they say, oh, there's no difference. Or in Massachusetts, oh, they're the same thing. I agree with you. That gets the door, because in the federal court of claims, they only want to see United States or the federal circuit court of appeals. But you have to, it's only about money. There's no tort. So if you're going to sue the judge, which we're going to be doing that to, we're going to have to go back to the, quote, United States district courts, but we're going to put it in the district court of the United States, which is what we did on a habeas corpus for Rappert, and they don't know what to do with it. It's still there. It only costs $5 to file a habeas, a real one. And it's been sitting there for about a month now. But anyway, you have to have a damage. You have to have a money damage. That's what you have to have.
Okay. Stop. I get it. I understand. This is me, Jack, from Texas.
Yeah, so, I know who you are. I talk to you. I know your voice.
I did the refiling, all that. And there was no, if there's anybody out there that has damages, for the love of God, it has to be me.
Absolutely. absolutely. So, no, I just got to be able to get all this stuff to go in there and establish the jurisdiction to make it stick. That's what I'm working on. Because all the stuff that I talk about, it's easy to talk about it. But try putting it in a legal brief and making it bulletproof.
Right.
And nobody's done any of this. Nobody's done it. That's what's amazing. I wish people would. But there's so much to it. I mean, I've got all this research now, you know, but I'm building the module so that I can cut and paste those modules to tell a story. It's like if you take step one, there's got to be a step two, and then there's a step three, and there's a step four, and you can't miss any of the steps. Okay.
Okay. So you're saying that you're going to do a filing here in the next week or two.
I am. I'm going to publish it. I'm going to put it out there. I got loose lips. Can't keep government secrets.
All right, that's fine. But so who's the first test case? What's the story?
I got Mooney in Minnesota, and I've got Toppin in Massachusetts.
So three separate cases, or are they all in one?
No, those are both separate. Two separate people. One of them, Mooney, they've threatened to move him out of his house and surpass the 30 days. So I'm trying to get this done so we can get in the federal court of claims. If we don't, we're going to go into the federal circuit court of appeals with a mandamus. If we don't, we're going to go into the federal circuit court of federal court of claims because he's been damaged. And then the next one is I've got Toppin in Massachusetts I'm providing research on, and he's supposed to be out of his house here in about another 20 days or something. And so it depends on which one of those two courts. One is the federal court of claims, is if you got actual damages. The one above that is the appellate court, which is the only appellate court we have. And it's hard to get in there, but there is a thing, if the judge in the court is totally out of control and they have no jurisdiction, you can get into that court. That's what I'm working on, a module on that too. Okay? You still there?
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So, just...
Hang on. You're on my list. I am working on it, but I'm a one-man show.
Well, no doubt. Yeah. All right.
Okay? Take care. Mark in Philadelphia, you're up next here before we get through. Go quick. Got to go because we only got a minute or two left here.
Yes, Ralph. Just wanted to ask you if you're aware of what's going on in Missouri with the Second Amendment Preservation Act. They're putting forth going to nullify all federal gun laws, past, present, and future. If you hadn't heard about it, I just wanted to bring it to your attention. And if anybody can go down the rabbit hole on it and see how valid it is, I mean, how if
email
it'll stick
me,
and if it's...
Email me at irs@alaskaminuteman.com. I'll take a look. Okay?
All right. Okay. Well, it's in the news, Second Amendment Preservation Act for Missouri. So check it out.
I try to go find all this stuff. It's a lot easier if somebody points me in the right direction first. Okay?
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you, Ralph.
Okay. Anyway... you got to get your status right. You got to try to vote for a Republican form of government. I've got a driver's license, citizen of Alaska. I saw where it went to, because a couple of years ago, where it went to the National Voter Registration Act, but I just didn't understand what the importance is. There are no elections for any state officers. They don't exist. It's all a con. They got no power. They got no subject matter jurisdiction. They got no personal jurisdiction. And we're going to give them actual notice that I'm a citizen of the United States, and they can't. Then we're going to go sue the bastards. This is going to be a fun year, especially with what Trump was doing. But I would not want to be one of those criminals with Trump pissed at me. Because now that the obstruction of justice and all that's over, I think there's going to be some real accountability, and I'm hoping we see Obama and Clinton and Hillary in jail indicted before the end of the year. And boy, I want to emphasize again, go see Unplanned, the movie, because they've blocked everything on the advertisement. They made it an R rating. And Hotel Mumbaya, because that shows you what Muslims are about. It's right there. Barbarians. Why are we so fatuated with Muslims? I'll get it. Why are we so fatuated with killing unborn babies? That have no defense, or even now they're considering if they're born and we still could execute. What in the holy hell is wrong with these people? They're evil. I don't want anything to do with them. I'm sorry. I thought I heard the music, but I'm not sure if I did or did not. But as I always say, watch out for the federales are everywhere and stay tuned, because I'm telling you what, it is going to be a good year. See you next Sunday, God willing.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.